بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، أما بعد. Continuing in the reading of the book Masail al-Jahiliyyah, The Aspects of the Days of Ignorance, we stopped at point number 29. Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah says, but in spite of this, means in relation to point number 28, that they only accepted the truth from their party and no one else's, he says that they did not even have knowledge of what that party or group that they adhere to used to believe. As Allah points out in his saying, then why have you killed the prophets of Allah for a time if you indeed were believers? Surah Baqarah, ayat 91. So Shaykh Ahmed al-Najmi rahimahullah comments saying that they didn't know what their party, means their group they adhere to, said, means they were not knowledgeable or did not know what occurred from their group in terms of killing of the prophets, as Allah says about them, قُلْ فَرِمَ تَقْتُلُونَ أَنْبِيَاءَ اللَّهِ مِنْ قَبْلُ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. Say, why have you killed the prophets of Allah for a time if you indeed were believers? And so we see from the days of Jahiliyyah, the aspects of the days of ignorance, that for someone to be an ignorant of that which they adhere to. And we find this with others as well, that they criticize people, but they themselves, they don't know their own religion or group. For example, we find the Christians that they criticize others, other religions, other people, but they themselves are the most ignorant of their own religion. So we see from that, is from the aspects of the days of Jahiliyyah. Point number 30, that it is from the amazing affairs and signs of Allah that when these people abandoned the command of Allah to unite and began to commit that which Allah forbade them from evil, the matter became such, as Allah says, that each group rejoicing in that which it has. So from the aspects of the days of Jahiliyyah is abandoning the unity and following division, which then leads to each party being pleased and rejoicing what it has. As Shaykh al-Najmi rahimahullah says, and this point indicates to the command that we mentioned earlier, the legislative command to unity, and that has come upon the tongues of the prophets, all of them, that they advise the people with ijtima' and unity, wa adam at-tafarruq, and not being divided. And when the people, they fell into the prohibition of Allah of division, then they opposed what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered them in unity, until it reaches the point, كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ. Each of their party or sect is pleased that which they have. And Shaykh said, I say this point also applies to Ashab al-Hizbiyat, the people of partitionship. الَّذِينَ يُفَرِّقُونَ الْأُمَّةِ, those who divide the nation, and they split the ranks based upon their desires and their preferences, and they create or they lead people to falling into that which Allah has prohibited and being far removed from the command of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the command of Allah. And that is due to, right, this is from the amazing affairs that we see. And this is due to people having amazement for their own opinion and placing that opinion above the command of the Book of Allah and the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says that this leads to different statements that are evil and aversion and differing. And then he gives the example of the Yahud, that the way they treated Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he mentions the hadith in Bukhari from Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu ta'ala anhu came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he accepted Islam. And he said the Jews are the people of slander, and that they know about, and that if they knew about my Islam, right, if they knew about my Islam before you asked them about me, then you will see their affairs. So the Prophet ﷺ went to them And he asked about Abdullah, what did he think of him? And he said, or they said, that he is the best of us, the son of the best of us, our master and the son of our master. And then he said, what about if he had accepted Islam, or if Abdullah ibn Salam accepted Islam? And they said, may Allah refuge be sought in Allah. And Abdullah came upon them and he testified, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah. And they said, he's the most evil of us, and the son of the most evil of us. And they described him with deficiency. And then Abdullah said, this is what I feared, O Messenger of Allah. So again, the Shaykh is mentioning here that if somebody were to command such people of Hizbiyat with the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they would criticize him and attack his honor. Same way what happened to Abdullah ibn Salam. But he accepted Islam and then they attacked him. Before, prior to that, they didn't. And so we see here that this is from the aspect of days of ignorance, and that the ulama, they mention that Hizbiyya is from the aspects of days of ignorance. So we have to stay away from it, and we should be far away from such things. For Allah commanded us with unity, not division. Point 31, he said, it's also from the amazing signs of Allah that these people held the highest degree of hatred for the religion they affiliated themselves with, while having love for the religion of the disbelievers, those who were enemies to them and their prophet. And the trials found the extent of their love for that religion of their enemies, as they did with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when they approached him with the religion of Musa, while in reality they were following the books of magic, and that magic was from the reality, was from the religion of the people of Pharaoh. So he says here, Shaykh al-Najmi, that this is from the amazing signs also, that they have with them this animosity towards the religion which they themselves claim to be ascribing to, and they have the utmost animosity and hatred, and in fact they have love for the religion of the disbelievers, those who they see as enemies of their prophet and their group. And it says the intent behind this is that the Jews, they claim to follow Musa alayhi salam, and they ascribe themselves to him, and they claim that they honor him and they follow him. However, with that they used to at the same time used to have animosity and hatred towards the religion of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who himself was following the same religion of Musa alayhi salam. Rather, the religion of Musa alayhi salam for them, rather it is the very religion of Musa alayhi salam, since all the prophets upon Tawheed and Islam. So the only difference amongst them is the prophets is difference in the secondary issues of their legislation, rather the origin is the same. And what is amazing is the Jews, when they have this animosity towards that religion which they themselves ascribe to, and they took then the opposite as a religion, means the religion of Fir'aun, and the people of the Qibt, the Coptics. And they were the people who they used to have a hatred for, and who were the enemies of their religion, and this is due to their ignorance, and their being a far away, or they having corrupted natural disposition. So if only that they were using the intellect, they had knowledge of the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah said to all the messengers, then they would have honored it and they would have followed Musa and Muhammad. May the peace and blessing be upon all of them. So this is pretty clear, that point there. Point number 32, that they disbelieved in the truth if it was found with someone that they did not like or agree with. As Allah says, the Jews said that the Christians follow nothing, and the Christians say the Jews follow nothing. Surah Baqarah 113. So here, we mentioned a similar point before. It was in point number 28. That from the aspects of days of ignorance is only accepting truth from their group. So the opposite is true. That they would disbelieve in truth if it was given to them or mentioned by one they didn't like or one they didn't agree with. And Shaykh al-Najmi says then that this point is built upon the point before, and that is, it disbelieved in the Prophet of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam after it being clarified to them that the Messenger came with truth, that they have been promised, and they came, and أَنُّ جَاءَ مِنْ طَرِيقٍ مَنْ لَا, and this is because it came from a path, means this truth, means Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet, from one who they didn't like, and for that reason he says, and they used to look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in order to escape that which he came with, even though it's promised for them, And this is because he was Arab, and he used to dislike the Arab and used to have animosity towards them. And this is all reference to the Jews. And so it's connected to point number 28, that whoever brings us truth, we mentioned that it's from humility that you accept it, whoever it is, whether or not the person who brought it to you is one you love or one you hate, as we mentioned the quote from Hafiz ibn Rajab, rahimahullah. Point number 33, that they rejected what they agreed was part of their religion, as they did during the Hajj to the house, the Kaaba. Allah says, and who turns away from the religion of Ibrahim except he who fools himself. Surah Baqarah, ayah 130. And so here, this point, Shaykh al-Najmi says, rahimahullah, that it's also similar to what preceded, that the Quraysh used to detest the Hajj, which they themselves claimed was from the ways of Ibrahim. And they claimed to be following and ascribing to Ibrahim. And they affirmed this. And likewise, those who, and they affirmed, it's also affirmed in the books. And he says, also affirmed, affirmed in the Torah. So they disliked something from the religion which they claimed to be following. And the Hajj was legislated in their religion. However, it wasn't considered an obligation. And it comes in the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he once was passing by Wadi al-Arzaq. And he said, أَيُّ وَادٍ هَذَا? Which valley is this? فَقَالُوا هَذَا وَادِي الْأَرْزَقُ. He said, this is the valley of Arzaq. So he said, كَأَنِّي أَنْظُرُ إِلَى مُوسَى هَابِطًا مِّنْ فَنِيَّتِي وَلَهُ جُؤَارٌ إِلَى اللَّهِ بِتَلْبِيَةٍ. He says, it's as if I see Musa coming down this very mountain path, raising his voice with the talbiyah. Then he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, passed by the valley or the mountain path of Harsha. So he asked them, أَيُّ ثَنِيَّةٍ هَذِهِ? Which mountain path is this? And they said, this is the mountain path of Harsha. And so the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كَأَنِّي أَنْظُرُ إِلَى يُونَسَ بِن مَتَّى عَلَى نَاقِتٍ حَمْرَى جَعْدَةٍ. He says, as if I see now Yunus bin Matta riding a reddish, strong camel, and he's wearing جُبَّةٌ مِّن صُوفٍ. And he's wearing an upper garment made of wool. And he's holding to the reins of the horse, and he's making the camel, and he's making the tarbiyah. So here, you see that the Prophet ﷺ, he affirms that Musa and Yunus and the Prophet, they performed Hajj. And likewise, from the religion of Ibrahim ﷺ, however, these people claiming to be Quraysh at that time, followers of Ibrahim, they fall into the ayah, وَمَنْ يَرْغَبُ عَنْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِلَّا مَنْ سَفِهَ نَفْسَهُ. As Allah says, and who turns away from the religion of Ibrahim, which is pure Tawheed, except he who fools himself. So despite their claim, it was not affirmed, their actions show otherwise. And added to that is that they committed other actions in the haram, which are not permitted. Like we mentioned before, clapping and whistling as form of ibadah, for Ibrahim, the one they ascribed to, never did such things. So very important. Also the fact that they corrupted the Hajj, were put placing idols and different starting points and ending points, and all these things that they did, which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam opposed them, and he affirmed the correct form of Hajj sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Point 34, that he says, Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah, every one of their groups claimed that they were the saved one. So Allah declared them to be liars with his saying, bring forth your proof if you are indeed truthful. Then he clarifies what is correct, saying, rather, whosoever submits himself to Allah while he is a good doer, his rewards with Allah, Surah Baqarah, ayah 112. So here we see the point that everyone claims to be the Firqatul Najiyah, the saved sect, or the group who Allah is pleased with. And this is the reality we see even till today, amongst the different groups and sects in the world, that everyone claims upon to be upon truth. But the reality is that claims don't have any value, it's reality that we judge. So Shaykh says here, Shaykh al-Najmi, in clarifying this point, that this actually also is in relation to Ashab al-Bid'ah wa al-Hizbiyat, the people of innovation and partisanship. وَكُلَّ مَنْ كَانَ خَارِجًا عَنْ طَرِيقِ الرُّسُلِ. Anyone who is also has exited or removed himself from the path of the messengers, every party and every sect claims that they are upon, or that they are saved sect, a saved group. مثلاً even in Islam, مُعْتَزِلَ يَذُنُّونَ. He said, Mu'tazila, they claim and think, وَيَقُولُونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُنَاجُونَ, that they are the ones who are saved. And they themselves, that they claim that they are the ones who know the truth. And the Jahmiyyah likewise, and the Murji'ah likewise, and the Shia and the Sufiyyah. Everyone names different groups who fall into this, who fall into the names of, or under the names of Islam, or under the banner of Islam, they claim this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tests and disproves all of them and clarifies that when He says, قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانُكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Bring forth the evidences if you are, or هَاتُوا بُرْهَانُكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Bring forth the evidences if you are very truthful. And the Prophet said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, افترقت اليهود على 71 فرقة كلها في النار إلا واحدة وافترقت النصارى على 72 فرقة كلها في النار إلا واحدة وستفترق هذه الأمة على 73 فرقة كلها في النار إلا واحدة. قالوا من هم يا رسول الله؟ قال هم الذين على مثل ما أنا عليه وأصحابي. He mentions the hadith when the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم says that the Jews have broken into 71 sects, all of them in hellfire except for one. And the Christians have broken into 72 sects, all of them in hellfire except for one. And this ummah will verily break into 73 sects, all of them in hellfire except for one. They said, the companions, who are they, O Messenger of Allah? He said, those who are upon what I am upon and my companions. And this hadith is reported by Tirmidhi and Shaykh al-Bani al-Bir al-Hassan, and there are many, many other routes for this hadith. So Shaykh al-Najmi then says, فَأَتْبَاعُ الرُّسُلُ, those who follow the Rusul, هُمْ نَاجُوا, they are the ones who are saved. فِي كُلِّ زَمَانِ وَمَكَانِ, in every time, period and place. وَأَصْحَابِ بِدَعُ الْفِسْقُ هُمْ الْحَالِكُونَ فِي كُلِّ زَمَانِ وَمَكَانِ. And the people of innovation and disobedience and wickedness, they are the people who are destroyed in every time period and every place. So in reality, we see here that just because someone may claim that they are upon truth and guidance, we don't accept it from them until they bring proof to establish that which they follow. And that is the way which we also clarify these issues. We tell those people who claim about Islam or other religion that this truth and this is correct, or هَاتُوا بُرْهَانُكُمْ, هَاتُوا بُرْهَانُكُمْ كُنْتُوا صَادِقِينَ. And if they don't have any proof, then they are not allowed to claim that they are upon the truth and to be guided. For the one who doesn't have proof, and the one who doesn't follow proof, and the one who doesn't ascribe to proof and truth, then he cannot be upon guidance. He can be. And it's very important for us that we don't take people on their word, and that we don't take people on their propaganda. This is very important. We see it across the world. And I'll mention one last one. Point 35, that they the Quraysh people of the days of ignorance, used to perform acts of worship while exposing their private parts, as Allah says. And while they committed an evil deed, going around the Kaaba in the naked state, they said, we found our forefathers doing it. Surah A'raf, ayah 28. So here, he says, Shaykh al-Najmi, rahimahullah, the people of Jahiliyyah, they used to see that it's permissible or allowed to make tawaf around the Kaaba. Either they would strip themselves of their clothing, for those who are in haram, for those who are the people of haram, or they were make tawaf as completely naked. So either they would borrow clothing from the people of the haram, or they would perform the tawaf completely naked. And if he could not find anyone to give him the mu'tamar, this is the one who's making his mu'tamar, the one who's making the umrah, if he couldn't find anyone to offer him clothing, then he would go naked. And they used to do this during the night time. Then he mentions some lines of poetry from a woman. He says, she says, today I will expose some of myself or all of it. فَمَا بَدَى مِنْهُ فَلَا أُحِلُّهُ. And whatever is being prepared for me, then I don't permit it. And he says, Ya Allah criticized them, saying, فَإِذَا فَعْلُوا فَاحِشَةً. And when they committed such fahisha, قَالُوا وَجِدْنَا عَلِيهَا أَبَانَا. They say, we found our fathers doing this. وَاللَّهُ أَمَرَنَا بِهَا. And Allah commanded us with this, and Allah sends a response to him. Allah doesn't command fahisha. You say Allah, that which you don't have knowledge of. So this is a very important point, that this is actually from the plot of shaitan, that he leads people to nakedness, and he calls people to unclothing. And there's actually a narration from Ibn Abbas, radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, authentic, that one man, he gave an oath that he's going to walk, or he's going to remove his clothes if such and such occurs. So he asked Ibn Abbas about the ruling of such an oath, and he told him, are you one who shaitan has overcome? And this is from the plot of shaitan, right? Such an oath to begin with, and then to fall into it. For shaitan, he loves the people that they unclothe themselves, and they expose the awra, and he led this to our parents, Adam and Hawa, and this is from what he wishes from others as well. And the Prophet ﷺ prohibited all of this, as in the final Hajj of the conquest of Mecca, when the Prophet ﷺ, the Muslims gained control of Mecca, the Prophet prohibited anyone to make tawaf naked ever again. Hadith Bukhari. And likewise, he prohibited ﷺ to walk nakedly, or any form of this nakedness. So we see here that this corruption that they were upon, of doing acts of worship naked, is from the ways of from the influence of shaitan, and it's also something that has nothing to do with Islam, alhamdulillah. So inshallah, we'll end with that, due to the time. If anyone has any points that they'd like to mention, or anything that they'd like to ask. There is some narration as well from some of the Sufi as well that this has occurred, as Ibn Jawzi mentioned in Tirmidhi Sahih. We won't mention any such things, yeah.
I believe Shaykhuddin Sharaji in the same audio which I translated, he mentioned the existence of idols in the Kaaba. That was from again the Fahisha two people started to commit. Maybe that is one of the reasons why they used to think that this is a worship, because they were being frozen by the will of Allah inside the Kaaba and they were idols like that. So they were like, after generations people used to worship them and they used to think this is it. This is the meaning of it.
It's prohibited to expose the awrah, except to someone's spouse. And the ulama, they mentioned that the only time that someone is removed from the things, when it happens unintentionally, that can happen, some by accident, sometimes occur, then this is different. But then they used to worship Allah with it. And Allah says that Allah doesn't order falakish. And second thing is also that Islam came to prohibit that action, to worship Allah in a state of nakedness, and the Prophet says on top of that, prohibit all types of nakedness. And also we see then from the plots of shaitan and the ways of misguidance is this. So today we see this excessive nudity in our times, we see how far people have gone. That they're going back to the ways of days of Jahiliyyah by promoting it and celebrating this nudity which is from the ways of shaitan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect and save the people.